So this is the last Chabura we're going to have on this parak. Hopefully next week we could start Hasho al Sapara. Does that sound good for everybody who's interested?
Are you going the whole summer?
No, we're going to go through June. Gabe, does that sound good or does that sound bad?
It sounds good.
Okay. So I think that, for next couple of weeks, we'll start with Hashoel. We'll talk a little bit about Bai Levimo, the shaka, like the first blot and a half of the shaka Vitari about the limud for a different Shomrim. We'll just breeze through that in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to open up a new Makoro sheet for that discussion. But, you know, a little bit on Bai Levimo, cover some of the main ideas, and then the sugya there about the makar for different Shomrim. I want to make a few haros in that. That discussion. Okay, good game plan. Great. So today I want to wrap up our discussion of, here we go, Masna Shemrachim Leos Kishoel. Specifically, we were talking about this Hakira, about distinguishing between Tanai versus Hischaivus, both in the Masna Shemrachim Leos Kishoel case and in the case of Shomer on Avadim Shtaros and Hekdeshos, who accept Shmira with a Kenyan, how to conceptualize that relationship. And we look through several nafkamina between these two different approaches. One of them related to Miras Lagvok and Siras Lahedjot. Another related to whether you're going to have to pay with Idis. And then the last nafkamina was about this question of Kenyan Dvarim. Do you have to worry about, is it possible to mischive yourself in a Shvua? Or do you get stuck in Kenyan Dvarim issues? All this sounds familiar? Okay. So today I want to look deeper into the Kenyan Dvarim discussion and whether you can mischive yourself in a Shvua. So just to refresh your memory on the background, we had the Rambam in Schiros Beis Aleph. Anybody remember what was significant about Schiros Beis Aleph? What did the Rambam say? What was the Rambam says you could be mischayev yourself, or abadim shtaros and hekdeshos, bim kanu miyado chayev b'achra yusan. So there's a diak to be made there. The Rambam said chayev b'achra yusan. Gabe, what was that diak?
Yeah, and not b'shua.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
The Rambam says you could be chayev and achrayes, chayev to pay back damages, but he doesn't say anything about chayev shvua, right? So why doesn't he say anything about chayev shvua? So the Kesef Mishnah writes, Beis Aleph, Gabe, what does he say?
So he says that the reason would be that you can't be Mechayev somebody Shvua with a Kenyan because that would just be Kenyan Dvar.
Exactly. A Kenyan Sheyishava would not be valid because that would be a Kenyan Dvar. And we'll talk a little bit today about what exactly a Kenyan Dvar is and why it's not valid. But the Diyak of the Kesef Mishnah is that you cannot voluntarily accept a Chiyuv Shavua on your own. Very good at that? Okay. Now, Beis Yosef, since he's the same person as the Kesef Mishnah, says this in Choshen Mishpat Simen Samech Vav. He cites the din based off the Gemara Nazav that you could become a Shomer and Avadim Shtaros and Hekdeshos through a Kenyan. And he says, "Or nearly the lokai el hashomer sachar v'nishtabed al yedei kinyan leshchay b'tashlumin. Aval the shomer chinam hechi shtabed lishav al yedei kinyan." So same objection. You can't become a shomer. You can't become chayv shu al yedei kinyan. Who is the dissenting view, or at least seem to dissent on this? Who disagrees with Beis Yosef?
The Ramah,
or at least on the face of it, the Ramah. Gabe, just read this Ramah for us.
Yes, the Ramah doesn't seem to have the case of Mishnah, so he's just responding to the Beis Yosef.
Now, when you read that, do you think that he's disagreeing? In your own reading, I know there's some controversy about this. Do you think he's disagreeing with the Beis Yosef Kesef Mishnah and holding that you could be mischayev yourself or do a Kenyan Lishava?
Yeah, to me, that seems like a shot of what he's saying. How else would you read it?
Okay, so there's no way to read it. I'll just say that the Pashup shot, I believe, is like Gabe, is the way Gabe reads it, which is that according to the Ramah, the Beis Yosef is wrong. There's no problem with being mischayev yourself to take a Shavua. Okay? I'm just curious, everybody agree with Gabe's reading off the bat? Like, is that...
Yeah, like, I think you could, it's like, it's where you put the comma. Like, is it like, that? If there's no problem to you can be machna yourself to make a shua, you can be machna yourself to mishalim, who cares, what, like, all is doable, but like, you could, maybe that what you're machna yourself is for the pair of sheishava o yishalim, which, like, we discussed last time, was like, are those two, is the shua a form of mamon? It's like maybe you're like, it's not the reason that it's like, yes, you, there is a kinyan dvarim issue just to be mocking yourself to make a shua, but this is not just a regular shua. This is a kinyan of sheishva o yishalim.
Good. Yeah. So I think Adin's right. The way to resist Gabe's reading is to read that disjunction as being a tight unit, right? So you couldn't take, you couldn't be kona lishava. On Adin's reading, you can only be kone lishava o lishalim, requiring the option of either or, right? Adin, that's how you read it. And so the hischaivas for mamon in your view or on your reading is crucial to getting the kinyan off the ground.
Or at least, I don't know if one reading is mukhrach over the other, but I think both are definitely viable.
Yeah. Good. So let me say a little more about that. So there is a camp. So let me just say, yeah, there's a debate about what the Ramah is saying here, what he intends to say. I agree with Gabe that the straightforward reading is that you can mischayev yourself in a shavua. Just to get the halachic dialectic on, to get the halachic dialectic out, we saw explicitly the Machane Ephraim and the Maras Sason. Let me just pull up the Maras Sason here. I thought I put it down separately, but I guess I didn't. You know, all the Achronim quote the Maras Sason. The Shach quotes it, and the Machane Ephraim quotes it. Machane Ephraim, Hilchos Shomrim Simin Chaf Beis. Shomer Chinam, Shehisne Lios Keshomer Sachar. B'toin HaShomer Shenigna Ba'ones, Ichayev Lishava. So just classic case of Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishomer Sachar. You have a Gneva Aveda. Sorry, the Shomer says it was Nignava Ba'ones. You have a Tainas Ones. Must he swear to support his claim? So what does he say? Ra'isi L'maharasa Son. Simin Hanal. I guess that's mentioned. That's the Torah MS. That's the Baron Sason. Shenestapik Baza. Ichayev Lishava. Right? Do we say that a kinyan cannot work to obligate him to take a shavua? And he cites the Beis Yosef, who's adamantly opposed. Beis Yosef kasa bepshitas de'ena mishabed lishava yidei kinyan. The kinyan dvarim uvachin kasa b'shach. So there's a whole school of thought out there that the kinyan is invalid. And what's his objection? V'tamhani elzeh. Gabe, you want to just read us through that? What's the tema?
Yeah, I haven't seen this before, but I'll read it. With Tamani Azad Abahedek as of Rambam, Mehilchos Sanhedrin, but me shalo haya chayav li shava, viamar eshvabacha. In Kanomiado, chayav li shava.
Yeah.
And the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber quotes this, so clearly the Machaber is motive at this point.
Right. So the Machane Ephraim cites the Rambam and Mehilchos Sanhedrin as clear evidence that you could be mischayev yourself in a shvua, like uncontroversially. So whatever you want to say about the Darkei Moshe, how to read the Darkei Moshe, in terms of getting the dialectic on the table, I think it's pretty clear that at least Machane Ephraim is purely in favor of the power to mischayev yourself in a shvua. We in agreement on that? And good. And the Maras Sason also seems to be misupik about it. So we could quibble about what the Darkei Moshe is holding. But in terms of the halachic positions, like the logical space of views, there's definitely the Machane Ephraim and the Maras Sason out there. Okay. Now, let me just give you two, one interesting opposing view. So the Chumasakri, that's the Ketosis brother, and Simon Samachabab Sif Mem, is totally against this reading of the Beis Yosef. So look what he says. He cites the Beis Yosef's view. It's a Kenyan Dvarim. He cites the Shach, who we'll look at in a minute, who's also adamant that this is a Kenyan Dvarim. Look, the Shach says, "Aval al Shvua b'me yachol akinyan ein zal akinyan dvarim." And look what he says here. Veli nira. Anybody have a chance to see this Chumasakri? See, Rav Noah, did you get a chance to see the Chumasakri yet? Not yet. Anybody see this Chumasakri?
Yeah, I saw it.
Ah, cool. Save the day.
So
what's the main argument? Let's see here.
I think the idea is that in order for a Kenyan to work to, I don't know Latin, in order for a Kenyan to work to affect a Shavua, like you need some kind of mitoch possibility backing it up. You need like some kind of property interest for the Kenyan to latch onto. Otherwise, it's just empty words.
Yeah. So
which is one of the most interesting thoughts I have ever read in a piece of Torah. Like I could have spent a year and a half on this sukkah and not have thought of that.
Meaning that the Kenyan would require some objective mammon to get off the ground.
That what make the difference between a Kenyan Dvarim, right, exactly, was like the possibility of mitoch. Basically, like some kind.
Well, I wouldn't phrase it in terms of mitoch. So we'll take a closer look at it right now. I just want to say I'm embroiled in a controversy on this issue right now, which I'll tell you about in a bit.
Like a din Torah.
So I'll tell you a little bit about the underlying issue. But you could see, I mean, the big question is like, on what could you make a Kenyan to bind yourself to, you know? So like in American law, it's like, oh, you know, anytime you sign a contract, basically, unless there's some reasons why, you know, it's like unconscionable or is under duress or it's against public policy, you're bound. There's a whole view out there, again, just putting aside our discussion of Minhag HaSofrim in the beginning of the year, that like in halacha, there are very few things that you could actually bind yourself to. And you can see in our discussion right now, it's like, it's even controversial whether you could bind yourself to take a shvua under certain circumstances. So the Chumasakri's argument is the following. Vili nirek, Cole, you want to just read this passage for us, please?
Sure. Vili nirek agam.
Hadarke Moshe.
Oh, Hadarke, right. Hadarke Moshe moda lezeh de kinyin shi shavu lechud have kinyin devarim velo mahani ela tahachi ka'amar she yachala hasno sela hakno shi shava o yishalim. That's why I said.
Right, exactly as I didn't say. It's the disjunction of yishava o yishalim.
The conjunction. No.
The disjunction of she yishava o yishalim.
I think the... Sorry, the inclusive disjunction.
Correct.
Right.
The kivan
shehikne. Apologies. The kivan shehikne kach tu lohachi kinyin.
Lohave,
sorry. Very tired. Lohave kinyin dvarim bahama shekinyin chala tashalumin. Elshin yishava yiftor ushad... I don't know what that means.
Vishadinan hakinyan al-mashar.
Fine, okay. Right.
Okay, so you see the argument? The argument is that what's really happening, according to the Rama, is what? Just conceptualize this. Shehakinyan chal tashlumin, ela she'im yishava yiftor. So how does the Chumasakri interpret the Darkei Moshe?
Like, really, you're paying...
Really you're mishaved yourself to what?
To compensate. And the shvua is a p'tur.
Oh, does everybody see that? So what's the Kenyan is not to take a shvua, according to the Chumasakri's reading of Darkei Moshe. The Kenyan is to pay in a case of you know, Gneva Veda, the Kenyan is to pay in a case of Ones, whatever. But there's a Tanai in your Hischaivos L'Shalim, which is that you're not Mischaiv yourself, or you could exempt yourself through a Shavua. Everybody see that? So it's really a Hischaivos Al Tanai, not a Kenyan to take a Shavua under circumstances, and a Kenyan to be Mischaiv L'Shalim under other circumstances. Does everybody see that? That's like a really interesting move to solve the Kenyan Dvarim problem. So he wants to bring the Ramah into his camp. He has Adin's Diak in the Ramah, and he has a nice explanation that it's pure Hischaivos with the possibility of a Ptur. Shmuel, does that make sense to you? Yeah, everybody see this? I just want to point out to you, this is like so interesting, that, let me see if I could do this during the stop share for a second. So do you guys know how like the just the halachic prenup works? Like through the Bezin of America had the halachic prenup?
I do. I heard Rav Willy give a great share on it.
Okay, so how does it work? What's the standard?
I have the papers in here somewhere.
I think the standard thought is that you're like part of the ksuva is an obligation to support your wife. And in a case in which a Bezdin has paskin that a get needs to be given. So the amount that you're obligated to pay is just bumped up. And so it's increased. It's totally internal to these. So why do you need to use that? Because why do you need to use that mechanism? Because Rav Willig and other poskim are really worried about the possibility of a get ma'usa. So, you know, it's not a knas. He's like, Rav Willig is like very adamant that it's not a knas. It's just an increase in the amount of.
That's the Chiyum Mizonos. That's the Chiyum Mizonos discussion, right? So somebody pointed out to me, and I'll show you. There are two provisions in the prenup. One is that like if you have a fight over the get, right? So then you agree to go to binding arbitration at a specific bezdin.
Oh, it's a Chiyum. It's routed through the Chiyum Mizonos.
Hold off on the Mizonos discussion for a second, just for a second.
Oh, yeah, okay? I thought it was, okay, fine.
Okay, so look at this. What do you think of this line? Here, I'm going to share my screen again. So here's what the standard prenup says, okay? Here's an agreement between so-and-so and so-and-so. Arbitration. Should a dispute arise between the parties so that they do not live together as husband and wife, they agree to submit the binding arbitration before the Bezin of America, which will have exclusive jurisdiction to decide all issues pertaining to the get, tanayim, mizonos, blah, blah, blah. Everybody see that? Okay. So is this a Kenyan Dvarim? you're basically saying, should a dispute arise in the parties, they agree to submit the binding arbitration before a certain panel. Right? Why is it different than the issue? I mean, we'll look at the Kenyan Dvarim Makar in a second.
Yeah, no, that does look like a submission to
arbitration.
Is that I mean, I don't even think that this is I don't think it is, but that's just because I don't think that a Kenyan Dvarim is what all these people. So there's a Yad Ramah at the beginning of Baba,
yeah,
of Baba, yeah, Basra.
Yeah,
that's like very narrow.
Good, good. We'll get to Yad Ramah in a second. Very good. But I just want to point out, so look at the formulation that the Bezin of America has.
Wait, can I just ask a question? Why does this matter? Isn't this a legal document, not a secular legal document, not a document?
No, the point is it's a prenup. You're...
Well, it's both.
And by the way,
right?
Maybe you can...
Maybe
you could like minaga makom this into... There's a dispute about you know, we talked about this like earlier this year, maybe last
right. So one easy answer,
this Kenyan Dvarim into validity.
Correct. So one easy answer is Gabe's answer, which is, oh, it's a legal document. Once it's a legally enforceable document, it gets incorporated through Mina Situmta and through Minaga Sofrim. Gabe, that's your route, right?
You're giving me a more generous reading, but sure.
Okay. But look at this. So this is, just look at this formulation on its face. And then if you go to look, if you go to the endorsements, rabbinic endorsements, okay. So I only know this because somebody was complaining to me about this. They were saying the prenup's not binding. We had a din Torah where the parties settled and signed an arbitration agreement that any dispute about their settlement will come to the Bezdin of America. And now one of the sides is arguing like that's not binding. It's a Kinyan Dvarim. How could we bind ourselves to resolve any disputes? So now he's upset at the prenup language and at the enforceability of their settlement agreement. So the guy showed, so one of the, somebody showed me that if you look at these haskamos, okay. So let's say click here to see the approbation of the rabbis listed above. So look at it. So read this carefully. I don't know if this is legible to you guys.
Oh, you read it. Why don't you read it carefully?
Okay. But so it's chasima. This, so they're saying reference. I mean, this is looks. This is very Hamish, and it's like a scam thing there. reference document, rabbinic approbations, Hebrew language version of husband's obligation. So it says, Chasimas Yadi, Taita like me, Adim, Shes Chayavti, Bikinyan, Sudar, Lazon, Ulafarni, says Ishti, Maras, whatever. Kilchos good with me, you're doing the Zon and Farnes and Shambakushta. So I'm Meshabbing myself. And I'm made that I was meshavim myself to support my wife. V'im chas v'shalom lo mistar lanu l'kvo adirasenu akvua biyachad v'dir achas. If for whatever reason we separate our residence, mei zetam sheyeh. Ani mischayev las esla sach misuyam dollar, a certain amount of dollars, for every day that passes. Avor mizon osel, parnasasa, kol zman, heyosenu nisuyam kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. All right? So there's a hischayev to pay money. And then it says, look at this. Here's the important part. Ulam, however.
Wait, is this the actual prenup? Sorry.
Yeah, well, this is the Hebrew version of it.
Oh, fine. I was going to say this doesn't look.
Okay. Let's see. Ulam, im azmin osel din Torah. Okay. Benidon ha-pirud bebezim kavu asha whatever. If I invite her to a din Torah, to this Bezdin, and that Bezdin paskins that she's recalcitrant by not showing up, either because she doesn't show up to a din Torah, let's see. Then, one second. Yeah, or if I don't show up, then, if she doesn't show up to the Beis Din, there you go, or the Beis Din says, the Beis Din paskins against her, then, yipasek chiyuvize, my obligation terminates, okay? So notice over here, in the way it's formulated, There's no acceptance, there's no binding arm agreement to go to any particular Beis Din. All there is a hischayvus to pay a certain amount of money. And the hischayvus is terminated, right, if the wife doesn't show up to the Beis Din or if the Beis Din paskins against her. And this is signed by, you know, a bunch of Rabbanim, Rabbi Yosef, Zalman Nechemya. So what this guy was arguing is that notice how this is structured differently from the Bezdin of America's prenup. Here it's all just a hischayvus that terminates if the parties don't show up to Bezdin. So you avoid the Kinyan Dvarim issue. It's exactly where the Trumas HaKri sets up the Shavua issue. There's a hischayvus, but the hischayvus terminates if you take a Shavua. Same here, the husband's mischayev himself for mizonos, but if the wife doesn't show up to Beis Din, then he terminates his chayvus. This chayvus is not effective then. So that's supposed to be the incentive for the wife to show up to Beis Din. You don't have any separate binding arbitration clause. Anybody have thoughts on this? Or Gabe, do you see the point?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I'm curious about the continuation of the debate.
Yeah. So he was saying that like the reason why he's saying it's like, oh, it's even not fair for the Besdin to claim that they have all these haskamos from these rabbanim, because like it doesn't actually represent the like the formulation of the Besdin's prenup. Now, it's an interesting question whether that's like whether that's exactly right or not. But this is parallel to the issue that we're talking about right now. Okay, so let's go Lagufo Shalagut.
That's all you're gonna share?
What?
That's all you're gonna share? Like what are you gonna say? Have you asked Rav Asher?
What's that?
Have you asked Rav Asher Weiss, like if he'd agreed to a Kinyan Farm version of this?
Right. So if you see this, if you say click here to see the approbation of the Prenup of Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, if you look at this version, which is signed by Rav Asher Weiss and Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, so this one does start off with So this is like the arbitration provision saying if there's a fight, we'll all go to Bezin, and this is signed by Rosh Hashanah and Zalman Nechemya. But I guess it's like an interesting nafkamina whether like Rav Avadya signs on to this version. And so my point is a lot is at stake in this debate, because the question is whether when you sign an arbitration provision, is that binding al pi halacha, putting aside the question of Situmta and Minhag HaMedina. That's like the big nafkamina. You guys see that? Okay, so I want to look a little deeper at this question. Let's just go back to our sugya, to the main discussion here. So we saw the Trumas Akri is pretty clear that you cannot be mischayev yourself to take a shavua. You're mischayev yourself to mamon. The mamon chiyev terminates if you take a shavua. Didn't you have a hand on this?
Yeah. How does the Trumas Akri, what does he do with the Rambam, like the counterproof that we saw earlier, that like Rambam just says straight up that you can be mocking yourself to take a shavua?
Yeah. Okay. Good. So what do you do with this Rambam? Who adin b'mishal shelo ayachayev shavua v'amar esh v'alafa shavua im kanu miyado in yachalach serbo. So how is that Kinyan Chal according to the Yosef? Right, Adin?
Yeah. So we like what's the context of Zion of the Sanhedrin?
Ah.
Like what case is being discussed? I'll look that up while we keep going, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's all Kiblu Ale type of issues. You know, you're accepting a daya and you're accepting a possible aid, right? You're trying to you're trying to be mischayev yourself and all these things you're not chayev in. So just a quick stab at it, Adin. The Or Sameach addresses that issue, how to explain this Rambam. And he says, V'lo ha'v'kibarim kivan shehu al-maisa she'avar. So he thinks that these are all cases, it must be like to make a new kimta in the Rambam, parakayin alaka hay, that it's all on like an event that already happened. V'ha'v'kimode shemasha omer shekha. So you notice the way the Trumas Akri wanted to interpret the dark emotion. What you're really doing in that case is you're saying, I'm moda to your arguments that you made about this machlokas, unless I take a shavua otherwise. So it's like a hiskaivo sal tonight type thing.
So it's I'm moda mamon to you, if not for the fact that I take a shavua in 1 second.
Exactly. That's what he's trying to say. And he says over here, he says, but if in a different type of case, he says, aval b'mischayev lio shomer chinam al shtaro, that's not going to work. Why not so clear? That's like mischayev lishava. You're trying to obligate yourself to take a shavua, and im ken have a kinyan dvarim. Dal masha asid lios lo shayech. It can't be that you're mishabed yourself to take a future shavua. rak de mechayev atzmo lishava kifiha emesheiya v'az hava kinyan dvarim. So, like, if you're obligating yourself to take a shvuah on, like, some future thing imaging, that's a kinyan dvarim. But if it's on, like, a past thing that's, like, already disputed, and you want to be mischayev yourself to pay, but for taking a shvuah, that would be kosher. Can we say if it is a din? But that's the move that the Rosh Hashanah tries to make. Okay? Now, let me say two things now to further the discussion. So number one, just bringing the discussion home for the Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishoel, I think there are two easy ways to explain why Kenyan Dvarim is not relevant. So number one, I think if you go with the Tanai root being that the Kenyan is just to make you into a Din Shomer, and then once you have a Din Shomer, it's the Din Shomer that triggers the Shvuah, there's obviously no issue of Kenyan Dvarim. Are we all in agreement on that? Meaning, the Kenyan Dvarim problem only exists if you're trying to artificially be Messiah of yourself in a Shvuah. But if what you're actually doing is like a Tnai Shel Mamon triggering the Torah's Dinei Shmira, it seems obvious that once the Torah's Dinei Shmira are triggered, which they are by your Kenyan, then the Torah's Dinim could obligate you in the future Shvuah. Are we all agreed that that's like an easy way to solve the Kenyan Dvarim problem? Okay, so one way of explaining the Shita of the Machane Ephraim, of the Maras Sasson, of the Darkei Moshe, on my reading and Gabe's reading, is that you're not mischayev yourself to take a Shvuah, you're being Machnet, you're doing a Kenyan that you have a Din Shomer. Once you have a Din Shomer, the Chivei Shvuah come Mimela. I think, by the way, that was the argument of the Ktzos Achoshen and Simin Shinalif. The Ktzos quotes the Maras Sasson in the Torah Semes, and look what he says over here. Let's just read it again inside carefully. Noah, did you have a chance to see this Ktzos? Not yet. Yakir, did you have a chance to see the Ktzos?
Which one?
The Ktzos about the Maras Sasson.
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, so let me just read this line then. Cole, did you get a chance to see this Ksos?
I'm sorry, no.
Okay, so the Ksos says, the Ikar Sveko shall marina Rav Sasson, Yired, the Im Amar Hareini Mischayev Atzmi Lios Kishomer Sachar, Hareyu Betorah Shomer Sachar Lachaldina. So I think that makes a lot of sense, right? There's no Kenyan Dvarim problem. Because you're just tapping into the Platonic form of the Din Shmira. Right, Adin, you should like this. Right? And therefore he says, V'kivan dehisne lios kishomer sachar, hare nishtabed legamri b'din shomer sachar lishava l'shalim, k'din shomer sachar b'chol dino. D'han ischayev b'dvarim b'hai hanad d'mehemon le k'mo b'kana miyada. So once you tap into the Din Shmira, there's no issue of k'din dvarim. V'im lo amar lios kishomer sachar, ela she'eschayev atzmo b'gneva aveda stam, im kein ein bo alachiyev tashlumin. So I think the Ktzos here is very diplomatic. If you're mischayev b'lashon hischayevus, then you have a kinyan dvarim problem, and you cannot artificially accept the shvuah. But if you're mischayev b'lashon of tanai shel mamon, tapping into the Din Shmira, then you can. I think that's like a really excellent, clean solution by the Ktzos. Thoughts on the Ktzos' argument? Cole, do you like the Ktzos argument?
Yeah, I don't see anything terribly objectionable. Okay. I mean, well, I don't. In lo amar lios kishumis kada elvish kishkavis would be a veda stam kain ibele chiyuv tashlumin kshedu. Yeah. Sure.
Right, meaning it's really just a chiyuv tashlumin. It's not a. There's never a chiyuv shvua. That's the argument. So if you're mischayev atzmi lios shomer sachar, then you're betorah shomer sachar. If you're mischayev atzmi b'gneva aveda, that's mischayev no shvua.
I do think there's an. So there are kind of like two schools of thought about this. One is that these dinim kind of have nothing to do. You can mix and match dinim. That seems to be the Ksos's view. As I recall, the Minchas Chinuch does not. The Minchas Chinuch has a more, I'm trying to remember how it manifested, but a more structured conception of Shmira, so that if there are certain, you can only peel off certain dinim at the cost of other dinim as well. I'm sorry, we did it a few weeks ago, so I just don't remember it. But
that's fine. But I think.
Right. Oh no, I have it in my notes. Sorry, Minchas Chinuch says that if the din, that was the Itis thing. Like the method of payment is switched. The Itis, yeah. So that right. So that okay, fine. Anyway, that might be neither. The Ksos might be able to absorb that.
So the main idea of the Ksos, as I understand it, is just to say that the Kinyan Dvarim issue goes away if you're tapping into Dinei Shmira, right? We all agree, Noah, does the logic of that sound compelling to you? Okay. The second way to explain the Darkei Moshe, I think, of how you can misguide yourself to Shavua is to say that, we're not tapping into Dinei Shmira. You could concede the point to the Shach and to the Beis Yosef and to the Chumash Akri, that all you can do is be mischayev yourself to Mammon. You can't be mischayev yourself to do an action like a Shavua. But you argue, this is what I mentioned last week, you argue that a Shavua itself is a form of Tashlumei Mammon. It's like there's that Mammon dimension in Shavua. So to be mischayev yourself to Shavua is not a kinyan dvarim, it's not a mere promise to do something. There's actual shibud, ke'en hischayvus mamon, by being mischayv yourself in a shvua. Everybody see the logic of this? This is where my father's example with the taxi cab, right, becomes important. There's a shame mamon in shvua. I mentioned some rayas briefly to motivate this idea. I just want to mention four of them very quickly. So number one, I mentioned the Gemara in Bava Metzia Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah there talks about someone who's socher a para, and then he's mashiel the para to somebody, to a third party. So a shoel a socher then gives it to a shoel. It's mesa kedarka in the rishus of the shoel. So that means that, what's the rule for mesa kedarka? For a shoel, you're chayiv. A shoel will be chayiv. But what's the rule for a socher of Mesa Kedarka? That's ones, right? So a socher is pater, a shoel is chayiv. This is the famous Mishnah in Hamavgid. So what can you do in that case? Famous machlokas tanayim. One view is yishaveh ha-socher she Mesa Kedarka, v'ha-shoel yishalim l'socher. Everybody familiar with this Mishnah? Really interesting suggestion. According to the Tanakhama, the socher gets a windfall. You guys like this? The socher gets a windfall because the socher is pater. Under his liability rules, he's pater for Mesa Kedarka. The shoel is chayiv. So the shoel just cuts out a check to the socher, who gets a windfall from this arrangement. Everybody see that? So again, the Bailim, whose para it was, loses. The Shomer Sachar gets a check from the Shoel, who he sublent it to. Now, of course, the other day in the Gemara, Yossi is very upset by this. He says very famously, Ketzad hala osa schor b'praso shel chaveiro. Like, how could you do business? How could you profit off, like, your friend's property? It's like an unjust enrichment argument, right? It belongs to the Bailim. Doesn't seem equitable that the Shomer Sachar should be turning a profit off the back of the Bailim. Apolpanim, the Gemara challenges the Tanakhama and says this. How in the world did the Socher become the Bailim to get the check of damages on this cow? It's not his cow, right? So what does the Gemara answer? At least in this answer, b'shvua, because the shomer could take a shvua that it was nenas, that it died in Mesa Kedarka, that's what gives him title to the para, And that's what allows him now to profit off it. So what do you guys make of this this suggestion? Like, at least using the phrase of the Gemara, it sounds like the Shvua could work as a kind of kinyan on the Gufa Para itself. So I think the way my father wants to explain this Gemara, and I believe I heard this from him in the past, is that like the Shvua here is working as like a kind of kinyan mamon. The socher pays the bailim with the Shvua. That's what gives him bailus over the cow now. And that's why he's entitled to the check from the Shoah. Adin, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I feel like it's because if what the guard is saying here is that, can you hear me? Okay, so I'm very loud. If the Shvua is like being used as a Kenyan mamon here, that wouldn't really seem to fit like the time frame of like the whole point is he needed to be bailim when the actual like onus happened. So I feel like the Gemara is more saying that like it's making an interesting statement about Shomrim that like that when I'm so clear from you, I have like full bailus on it. And what like cements that is the Shua at the end. That like I'm that like as long as it ends with certain variables met, one of them being onus, that means I during the time period that I owned it, I was full bailim on it. And therefore I get paid for anything that happened during it. But if you want to read it as a Kenyan mamon, but then it sounds like the Kenyan only happens at the end, which wouldn't leave him eligible for that windfall.
Interesting point. You're saying the chronology here is a little difficult to say that you're Kona ex post facto and then be entitled to the damages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think my father could say that, why is that a problem? Like as long as Kona before the damages are due, right? So it's like you're buying out the claim all your days Shavua, something like that.
So like there's an outstanding payment for dead cow. But what lets me take that Shua is the fact that there's this thing called Din Shomrim, which lets me be Kona the Para Bishua.
Something like that, right?
All right.
So it's like hard to know, right? What's really like a Din Shomer halacha and what's like a true Kinyan Mamon halacha? That's your point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be it's not the strongest raya. I think my father likes this raya though to say like when like Hani Levi Par Bishua, like oh like suddenly like where Shvua could work as a type of kinyan. So that's supposed to like shore up the mumminess type, the mumon dimension of the Shvua. Noah, you had a hand on this also?
Yeah. This is the point that you want to get at the Gemara, but why is not the schar that the socher is paying the maskir like the obvious answer in the Gemara?
Right. Like, why isn't that the better answer than your kona with the schar tashlumen? Interesting point. I guess that's just what gives him the shame shomer sachar, not the kinyan, like not the kinyan on the entitlement.
It could be that the shvua is a necessary but insufficient condition. That the shvua, right? Like it could be the schar.
Is that like combined with the shvua?
Right. I think that's the. It's not like the schar is incidental. It's essential. It's just
right. Right,
The Shavua is also necessary because you have to, you know, why do we have these Shavuos? Because there sometimes aren't witnesses. But there sometimes aren't witnesses when the property is damaged or lost. And so we have to have a way to settle these disputes. And so we appeal to the honor, or the honesty, whatever, of one of the parties. Yeah.
So it's also important to note that in the next day or when the Gemara turns around says, no, the Shavua is just Kedei L'Hafiz Daita Shabbal Abayis, so it can't function as a Kenyan. So it's interesting, like the Gemara here is entertaining like two different views about what the purpose of Shavua Tashlumim is. Like in this first view, it works as like a kind of Tashlumei Mamon. Like when, like if you're not giving the thing back to the Bailim, like you're paying him instead with like, there are like three ways to pay him, right? Give the item back, pay him compensatory damages, or pay him with a shvua. Right, that's how my father is like understanding it. And then like there's this other view, like no, the shvua is not payment of the thing, a shavua is just like Kedei L'Hafiz Da'ita Shebaal Habayis is to put his mind at ease, right? It's just like some sort of explanation, not din mamon. Is that's one raya that my father likes to bring. The other raya that he brings, which is also what I think is really good, is based on the Tosefta and Shavuos, which gets Paskin and the Shulchan Aruch. I'm thinking it makes sense to the Gemara also. In Chesvav, Uchishem Shehashvius Mishametas Milva, Kach Shvius Mishametas Shvua. In the same way that Shvius cancels alone, it also cancels a Shvua. So you can see here Shulchan Aruch and Simchas Samach Zayin. Kol davar sheshvius mishametas, gam ke mishametas shvuasa, l'fikach shvuasa dayan mechayotze ba, she'im haya mode ba, so shvius mishamtaso, mishametas shvuasa. So if there's like some claim for which I owe you a shvua on, shvius will cancel the chiyuv shvua as well. Right. Now, my father's argument is that, oh, like, you see that owing somebody a shvua is like owing them mamon. And like it's like by for the same reason that Shavua cancels a Chiyuv Mamon, sorry, that Shavuos cancels a Chiyuv Mamon, Shavuos is going to cancel a Shavua because it's like the same type of halachic ontology. Make sense? Thoughts on the proof?
Is this Shavua, are we talking about, to go back to like Shavuos Akri stuff, is this talking about Shavuos that are, like, this is an obvious part of Shavuos that are connected to a Din Mamon. Like, oh, I have an outstanding Shavuos Hashomrim to you, but if it's a regular old non-Mamon Shavua, is that also, like, is that Mukhraf and the Tosefta one way or the other? Or?
Yeah, so you should look at the Tosefta and the Shulchan Aruch there. It distinguishes between different types of Shavuos. So, yeah, Ayin Sham Bifnim. But that's okay. My father will just say that not all Shavuos have a Din Mamon, right? It would depend on the type of Shavua. Anybody have any suspicions about this proof? Like, do you think maybe the proof is not so amazing? Like, other than for Adin's point about distinguishing between different shvuas.
It could also just be that they're not this, that Shemitah is just this broad thing that cancels duties from one person to another. That doesn't necessarily say that those duties are both, are the same in any way. Like, they're both just a duty of one person to another, and Shemitah wants the release bonds of all sorts.
Maybe. It's an interesting way of looking at it. I was thinking more along the lines that it's just that if, like, oftentimes a shavua is parasitic on a debt. So the reason why the shavius is mishamate is because it cancels the underlying claim. Once it cancels the underlying claim, there's like it renders the shavua redundant, right? So it's like best case scenario for the plaintiff, he's owed actual money, right? But if he's owed actual money, Shavuos would cancel that. So it also cancels. So once it cancels the underlying claim, there's no basis for a Shavua anymore. It's not that owing a Shavua is a type of owing Mamon. So that's something to consider. But my father likes this Raya also. I mean, he thinks that this...
Yeah, but there are plenty of Shavuos that are parasitic to things, to Chiyuve Mamon. Like if I... Right before Shemitah, maybe I'm just not... Like if I break your car right before Shemitah, like it doesn't, like a Shemitah isn't Mishame that debt, right? It's Mishame loans.
Well, it's complicated. What it depends if it's Masr or Lebezdin, it gets complicated what exactly Shvius is Mishame.
But if I was a Shomer, if I was a Shomer on your stuff right before, if it's determined that I was Hoshea or something like that, then like there is a possibility that like, that if my shua is like hanging in the balance to determine that, it's like Shemitah might not cancel the underlying.
Correct.
The underlying
issue. You should look in the Shulchan Aruch and see what it says about Shavuos in general, about where that would properly fall. 100%. Yeah, I mean the other two rayas just to mention is like Mitoch Shein Yachol Lishav Mishalem. I think that's like really the strongest raya. Kol will like this, right? That Shavuos generally are backed up by Chiyuv Mamon, and that Eidachatz Mechayev Shavua. So, you know, you say, oh, two Eidim are Mechayev actual Mamon, and Eidachatz Mechayev part of that. But, you know, these are just important ways to think about Shavua as a type of Mamon. So I'll call upon my point is that if we view Shavua as itself a type of Mamon, you can understand why the Darkei Moshe has no objection to being mischai of yourself in a shvua, right? It's ontologically no different from being mischai of yourself in mamon. Okay. Comments, thoughts on this analysis? Okay. Great. So I want to now, having discussed that, I want to go deeper into the source of the Kinyan Dvarim problem, just to get a little better traction on the back and forth. The Shach already pulls us into some of the underlying sources about when is something a Kinyan Dvarim, when isn't it. So we have the Shach in Siman Samech Vav Kuf Chav Ches. That's on this discussion of Shomer. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'im kanu miyado sheyiskay b'din haShomrim chayiv." The Sma says, "Koy gam haShomer chinam." The Shach says that's wrong, and he says, "L'fiyani es daiti lo yardu ledas habeis yosef." All the nosekilim got the beis yosef wrong. The kavanaso devada im hisna haShomer chinam sheyiskay v'shalem chal akinin al tashlumen. Okay, and he says his position is muchrach. That's the basis for this shita. So, did anybody have a chance to look at the Perek Kama Deva Basra discussion there? Like, what's the source of Kinyan Dvarim? Cool, this is your expertise now.
Yeah, there's a Gemara. Daf Gimel Lamud Gimel Lamud Aleph. That remind me. Okay, so B'mayi came to
the. So we have a Mishnah that talks about two partners who agree to split their field.
There's right? No din chalukah to the fields. The okay, field is so like not, too small or whatever.
That's right, and now they wanna divide their property. And they agree. They have a verbal agreement. They have an agreement that they're going to split the property.
It's not a verbal agreement.
What?
It's not a verbal agreement.
Well, the Gemara says, "Ki ratzu mai have." Like, who cares if they have a verbal agreement?
And then it's just...
You could always back out.
Oh, fine. She's going to be all done. So they can't.
So the Gemara says, you do okay.
Right? Mai have. So what?
Michael?
Yeah.
Mara says, even if you were to do a Maisa Kinyan on this agreement to divide the property, that would constitute a Kinyan Dvarim. Correct?
Right. And then there's like a massive debate. What's the problem with this Kinyan?
Okay, so that's what I want to look at here for a few minutes. What's the problem with this Kinyan? Why can't I agree? So Shmuel and I, let's say, have a joint property. We say we're going to split it. Why can't Shmuel and I agree to do it? Why can't we do a Kenyan agreeing to split it and be bound by that? Right?
So one. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, so
why do you take us through Rashi?
Okay, if Kenyan Baron, who be anically been called an Ella Davar, Hinnikne, or Mechra Matano, Shibit Karkosh, Akin Chal Olav. And the Yadurma more or less says the same thing that you need.
What's like, Rashi saying here? That a chalipin.
The chalipin isn't a chalipin isn't to do a particular thing. It's to transfer ownership of a. It's not to draw a line that then will affect a division in the field. You need some davar shenikne. Some apt object of kinyan that is transferred.
The idea that there's got to be some like so is the idea that there's got to be some property transfer or some
yeah this right. Sounds right. I think the right way to think about Rashi and also the Yad Ramah is that a kinyan devarim is like a meta kinyan. It's like a kinyan. The problem with the kinyan devarim is that it's like a kinyan to do a kinyan. So everybody agrees that you can split a field that doesn't have a din chaluka. A din chaluka has to do with whether you can, whether one party can force the splitting of a field. Important point. But so everybody agrees that what they're trying to do here is in theory doable. The problem is nothing is actually being done. You can't
It's like an agreement to agree, as they say.
Right. It's like an agreement to agree. Exactly. It's one step too far back from the transfer of the property interest.
Okay. Rashi's a little cryptic, right? The Gemara does allow that if it's beruchos, that's okay. But shekhanam yadam beruchos, that would work. What does that mean? Rashi says, take us to this Rashi call, Zebor.
Right. So there you just, you know, you, I don't know, with whatever implements and borders you have, you split up the field.
Right. Meaning if one guy says, I'll take the eastern half and you take the western half, and they do a kinyan, and therefore the kinyan affects the transfer right now on these different halves.
Right.
Right? That's valid because there's a present transfer. That's going on. Right. Now, I think things get interesting when you. So everybody agrees that a kinyan to do something in the future is no good. A kinyan that transfers something in the here and now is good. The question is, what about a kinyan to be mishabed yourself? It's kind of like a gray area in between, right? You're like, you're creating a present hischayvos or present shibud for something to happen later. So you can see Rashi says you could create a shibud karkos, right? Shah kinyan chal alav. The Rashba here has a slightly different formulation. What does the Rashba say? Shmuel, do you want to take a stab at this this Rashba for a second and give him an hour?
Yeah, sure. Lihidoro Bahu de Kinyon Inochal Ella O Bakarka Oba Metalton. So it's very specific. Inami Bishibud Aval Bidvarim Baalma Lo Ochal.
Yeah. So he says the Kinyon is not Chal only on Karka Metalton. Inami Bishibud. What's a Shibud? A little tricky. Like, what does that mean? Like accepting responsibility, is that a kind of a shibud?
It seems like in his formulation, it wouldn't be. Maybe.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So what does shibud include here, right? Beyond like a present transfer. We'll come back to this Yadarma in a second. I want to just take you for 1 second to the Tosos that we already read. Tosing Sivis Nundalad, we read, Toster Maskal Afalpi. The Gemara there said that a husband could be Meshabed himself to give his wife a larger Ksuva. Tema, Dachshav Nogu, Shapos, and Fasman Kala, Mea Litrin, Afpisha Inlo Shavaputa. How could he do this, right? You don't have the money in your Rishus. How could he Meshayev yourself? So Tos says, oh, not a problem. We know the Re asked Rabbeinu Elyo this question. How could he Meshabed yourself? You don't have assets. Oh, the Heshev that we see, Masna Shemarchinam Leos Kishav, right? So we see from that Gemara that you could. Umishani, Mishkanam Yado, Mashma. Take us through this, Shmuel, Mashma.
Mashma, Bechol Inyan, Apal Pisha in Maknelo, Shum Nechosim, El Shema Ovid Gufo, Laza.
Shabed
Gufo, Laza, Achov Meata.
Okay. Your mishabed gufo lezehachov me'ata u'lechesheyu lo nechasim chal shibudo. So your mishabed your guf for this chov. Right. So the shomarchinam in Tosus' view is mishabed himself for the shoel liabilities. Everybody see that? So there's a present shibud haguf, okay, which is what makes it work. And then Tosus himself explicitly engages the following question: the Einzek Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. Take us through the Shmuel. Why is it not a Kinyan Dvarim?
Einzek Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. The Kinyan Dvarim Lohave Ela Kahi Drish Basra Shekanu Miyadam Lachalu Chater Shein Badin Chavuka Aval Mashma Aved Gufo Lizchayv LeDavar Zeh Mishta Aved the Einzek Kinyan Dvarim Ba'alma.
Yes, what's else's point? Why is Masa Shemachin on the Oz Kishoel not Kinyan Dvarim? Because what's happening? What's the answer?
Shibud Gufo.
Oh, meaning what? There's a present Shibud Aguf. Right? So as long as there's a present Shibud Aguf, Tosus thinks there's no issue with Kinyan Dvarim. Is that correct?
Seemingly, that's what Tosus is saying, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So according to Tosis, if you could generate some personal shibud in some, you know, even if it's just like a shibud to be liable for something, that's gonna solve the objection of opinion dvarim. Tosis is quite explicit about that. Now,
what's the shibud for Bava Basra case then? Is that there's another person involved?
I think the issue is that there in the chalukah, you're saying why can't you be mishabed yourself in the guf to be cholik the sada?
I think because the Rambam's view, I think, is that it's not specific enough. Like a kinyan devarim is a kinyan where like it's not even like clear what performance would be constituted by.
It's worse than I don't have the male latrine now.
I can speak up.
It's like even worse than I don't have the stuff to pay now.
Yeah, that's a yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know if it's even worse. It's differently bad, but it is for the Rambam in Mechira Hei Yadalit, the issue is insufficient specificity. Like, how would you even, like, what would constitute a, like, an actionable attempt to fulfill the kinyan, the terms of the kinyan that is discussed in Bava Basra, Gimel Amud Aleph? It's not clear. And when Ruchos come up, Ruchos is fine. Like, what is that? That, like, what's that? What desideratum is the Ruchos suggestion filling? It's that it will, like, you know, when you lay the boundary stones, like, okay, now you have two distinct units of land, one owned by one partner, one owned by another, or the second erstwhile partner. But as it is, there are an infinite number of ways to, in an infinite number of incommensurable, of mutually exclusive ways to fulfill the contract. So, like, that's not helpful.
Right, meaning it just sounds like once you take Tosos's point that you can mishabed gufo, you have to say, well, for whatever reason, there's no concrete enough shibud to be mishabed yourself to split the field in any one of these indeterminate ways of splitting it. Right, so for whatever reason, it can't be reduced to any plausible shibud category. Right, cool, which is what you're saying, right? It's like the indeterminacy of an unspecified split.
Yeah, I think for shibud guf, like that's just, you know, you need to do a thing. You can specify the thing you need to do, but it has to be a thing done.
Yeah? Right. So this is a really tricky question, right? So Tosos is saying in the Master.
That's arguably what Schiris is. Schiris Polim is.
Is what?
I mean, it's a debate, but like one of the, you know, are you transferring? Do you have a property right in the world? Like there's a, you know, there are Rishonim who believe, like the Ravid, for instance, who believe that, like, no, you have even for Shutfin, it's a mutual shibud that you have in the guf,
right,
or whatever it is, right. So, but there's a whole other group, I think the Bali Tosfos and like later post movers, like, no, it's to perform, it's not a property interest, it's a requirement of performance, a defeasible requirement of performance.
Yeah.
That's what Tosfos. So Tosfos fine with that.
Correct. Look at this Yadarma. So in Bava Basra Gimel Amud Aleph, this is what Cole was referring to. Let's see how the Yadarma explains Kinyan Dvarim. So what does he say? Lomahani Kinyan. Cole, you want to take us through this Yadarma? Just in this.
No, I'm sorry. I'm feeling a bit fatigued. I'm going to stay, but I'm not feeling up to the Yadarma. I'm sorry.
All right. Yakir, are you feeling fatigued?
To some extent, yes, but I can.
Oh, sorry. All right. I didn't mean to, like, you know, everybody's
going on. Why is everybody feeling fatigued today?
All right.
It's fine. I'll do it. Yeah,
I need to engage in self care.
Lomahan, you go, Yakir.
Lomahan, kinan el hicha de konamine, goofy de mamona, bin lakni mamona, bin lakni yuvi de mamona. Whatever. Goring Lomahan can.
Yeah. So what do you think is the distinction he's getting at? Kanamina gufe de mamona, bein lach nuye, bein lach yuve. versus Kanumine Lemiflag Olamevar Hakna Kinyan Varm.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like you need some object for the kinyan to be chalan, and it has to be an object which is, you know, which has real monetary value.
Right. So you're saying that. So, want to flesh it out further for us, Jack? Here, or it's hard to.
I'm not sure. Like what? Not sure what.
Look in this formulation.
Yeah.
So in the same piece, a little later on, he says, "Mihasham yon lomani kinyan, ela hecha dekonamine agufa dimamona, ela hecha dekonamine lemevad hakna, kivin lomakni le agufa dimamona, but kinyan lo mishtabed laknuve le davle kinyan varim." So you need a kinyan on gufa dimamona in order for it to be valid. Okay. And then he says, over here, Bahani Mili, why don't you read this for us?
Bahani Mili, Echad Economy Nail. Echad Economy Other, Demichaev Lachlak of Haknos, and Holshkin Echad Economy Other, Lachlak of Haknos, the Economy Other, Shechaev Lassis Kakakakh, Lutnos, the Lost and Mustabit Lachkin, Babamush, and Asina Atmai Kamamon, I love and Asina Gufa Economy Naila Gufa, the Mamona Economy Nail, Demichaev Mesovai Kakakakh Mamon.
Yeah. So here he's saying almost like a semantic distinction, like it depends on how it's worded. So if you're Kanamiya, though, that you're obligated to split the field, or that you're obligated to be Makna, sorry, right, so if you're Kanamiya, though, Shechayev Lases Kach V'Kach, or that you're Chayev Livnos, or that you're Chayev Lazen, Mistavra Delav Kinyan Dvarim Ba'almahu. So what's the difference? So you could do a kinyan that you're chayev livnos.
Right, because that there we construe the kinyan as being a gufa de mamona.
Right.
That these are all actions that are performed with, you know, that are attached to monetary objects.
Right. So if you could somehow formulate the chaluka in terms of the gufa de mamona, that would be valid, right?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to assume that chaluka does not fall into that category.
Right, so what's the underlying distinction? If you're kanamine de mechayev lachlok, Olahaknos, that's no good.
Because there's no like specified, there's no specified object yet.
Right. But if you're Konumine, why is Livnos really different from Lachlok? I guess because there it's more specified.
Yeah, I think maybe the important point is Kach L'Kach, and Lasse is Kach L'Kach, and the Kach L'Kach is implicitly going on the Livnos and Lazen also.
I mean, you don't think it's Lase's Kach V'Kach, Tama, or Mischayev Livnos, or Mischayev Lazen? You don't think these are...
I don't know. It's hard to know, like, what exactly he means, but I think that might be that the Kach V'Kach is explicitly going on all of them, and that's the important distinction.
Yeah. Meaning if there's some Mischayev Mamon involved, right?
Right. That's how you summarize it.
Olivnos Olazim, meaning I'm going to give you $1,000 either for building or for Mizonos, but there's got to be like concrete mamon involved in the Hisaivos.
Yeah, and that's how he summarizes it in the bolded sentence when he explains it. Right. So if you
could formulate it like in terms of, so like let's say we do a kinyan that I'll give you, we know the property is worth $20,000. And we're Mishai Bikinian to split it so that each of us get $10,000 worth of mamon. That would be binding, maybe.
Like, maybe.
I'm giving you $10,000 worth of the property, something like that.
Maybe. I mean, maybe the fact that the property, that which property it is not specified might be problematic. I'm not sure about that, but it might help.
Interesting. Yeah, very difficult to figure out exactly what the difference is. Let's look at this. So I think you're right. There's this emphasis on the gufo shel mamon here, which is critical for the Adarma. Tosos, which the Tosos we saw in Ksuvis, seems to emphasize something a little different. As long as there's a shibud haguf, that's sufficient. The Adarma seems to characterize it in terms of gufa de mamona. Look quickly at this Ran and Daf Gimel. So he says, if he kind of be other my havoc in Dvar Baalmahu, Amr B'Shem of Gahaga Onin. So Noah, do you want to just take us through this quickly?
Yeah, so Amr B'Shem of Gahonim Zal, the Huha Din Omil Chavero Etin Lach Matayim Zuz, the economy Hadu. Says for somebody who says to his friend, I'll give you 200 Zuz, and they made a Kenyan on the agreement, Lomahane, the Kenyan Dvar Baalmahu. That's also just a Kenyan Dvarim.
Right. There it's formulated as I'm going to give it to you. So it sounds the Kenyan is on the gift type thing.
Right? Yeah, whereas the Yad Ramah would say that works.
Right. Arguably because it's on the actual guf. Like it's on the mamon.
Yeah.
But then he says over here, there's a way to... So look what he says. He asks this question from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Mara said, "Who gavra damle lechavre? Do you know the sugya? Do you want to take a stab at it?"
I don't know the sugya. I could read.
So yeah, I'll just take us through this. Yim tomar. Gemara of Avodazara says, "Who gavra damle lechavre? Kimizav nina lechala hayara, lidach mizav nina la b'meya." The guy says, "When I sell this land, I'll sell it to you for $100." Azal zavne b'meya v'asrim. So he goes and sells it to somebody else for $120. And the Amoraim there say it's okay because he got a better rate from somebody else. So it's okay that he sold it for 120. Alma, taima de zavna b'meya, v'asrin, zavna b'meya, kulu modu de kanakama. The only reason why it's okay that he sold it to a third party is because he got 120, but he's barred from selling it to another party for 100. Bamai, kinin dvarmu, isn't it a kinin dvarim when I say, Noah, I'll sell you the property at 100? So what does he say? Ikal meimar, here's the crucial part. Go for it, Noah.
Right,
meaning you could change this to a mechir al tanai.
So that's where you said me'achshav.
Correct. So if you said I'm mocher me'achshav, then it's a kinyan that's chal right now. Al tanai, that, you know, some future thing obtained, which is totally fine, right? Because there's some present hakna that's going into effect. So I just want to point out, there's a whole range of considerations that the Rishonim here are injecting into, what makes something a Kenyan Dvarim, right? Is it the fact that there's no mamon involved? Is it the fact that there's no shibud? Right? It's is it the fact that there's nothing happening, at the moment of the hakna? These different Rishonim are emphasizing different aspects of the din. Look at this. I want to look at just this one other tshuva of the Rashba, and then I want to take a look at a related sugya very quickly. So the Rashba in Aleph, Simon Aleph Lama Gimel, was asked the following. Misha kanam yado sheyachzer l'ruven kol zechuyo sheyesh lo alav gam yasa lo shtar mechila hu v'ishto miyav akinyan var molo. I do a kinyan that I will give back whatever money I owe you. I say, Noah, whatever money I owe you, I'll do a kinyan, I'll get it back to you. Is that binding? V'heshiv, is that machlokes bein agonim? Yesh mehem sha'amru, dechol b'loshon osid she'esek kach, o etein kach, have a kinyan varim. Anything that's listed in future tense is automatically kinyan varim. V'yesh me sha'omer, she'kol ha'omer etein kach v'kach, Lo kinyan dvarim hu, ela harehu ki ilu kanami yado, b'chiv oso sach. Ein kinyan dvarim ela ba'omer achlok imcha. She'elu dvarim ba'alma. So what do you think is going on here? This is the interesting shita. So one shita says everything's a kinyan dvarim if it's like a future, if it's like a future promise. Like kol lashon esekach is a kinyan dvarim. But what's this view? If you say etain kach, here, what do you think the view is?
I mean, it's hard to know what's going on, what exactly is going on with Ki'ilu, but it sounds similar to what was going on in the Adorama. That if you have something that's good moment involved, we can construe that as just being mischayev directly to that mamon.
Oh, isn't that really interesting? I agree exactly with your formulation. We can construe it that as if, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's saying like we could almost ignore the actual language that the parties used, but if it's translatable into terms of hischayevus of mamon, right, then we will make that leap and convert it into a valid opinion. That's how you're reading it, Ikea, right?
I think so, yeah.
So you say, Omer, I think kach v'kach. I'll give you this amount. Maker, I think that shouldn't be binding. But we could read it as kilu kanam yado b'chiv oso sach. Since we could translate that into hischaivas for that amount, we could make that valid. Vein kin edvarim al bomer achlok imchash elu dvarim ba'alma. If it's something that's like just about splitting a field, which can't be translated into pure mumble language, that's when we say it's a Kenyan varm. Am I right, Akir, in your?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really important view. Good. Now, let me just mention one thing very quickly here, and this is the last thing I'll comment on in the Kenyan Dvarim discussion. So there's this discussion here. This is where it's a little more related to the controversy that I'm involved with, I'm looking into. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Dayanim, Simen Chaf Beis, Sif Aleph, this is really based off Gemara in Sanhedrin, talks about Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Avicha, Neman Alai Gimel Roi Bakar. Anybody familiar with that? So again, Sanhedrin? Have you come across it? Shmuel, you never came across it in your travels? No? Gabe, have you come across it in your travels? See if you have Gabe here.
I don't think so.
No? The idea is that you could accept whatever dayan or aid you want, and you could take somebody who's puzzle and accept them as if they're kosher. So you could see Misha Kibbal of Karav of puzzle.
Is this sugi of Kiblu Alai?
Yeah, Kiblu Alai, that's right.
Oh, Pulse, you're, sorry.
You're familiar
with this. Yeah, this Kiblu is a Alai, famous, right? The Maharim Mintz famously paskins that you can do Kiblu Alai for a woman, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tosa seems to have a view like that about the Vora. You know, you can accept any puzzle person.
No, but for Adis, not for Dionys.
Okay. But the Mishnah here says you can be Makabal anybody you want. As, you know, Mishakibal of Karav Apostle, being Leo's Dion, being Leo's Aid, blah, blah, blah. What's the din? The din is if you didn't do a kinyan, you could back out. But if you did do a kinyan, you're bound. So you can see here, the Shulchan Aruch says, "In kanu miyado, b'chol inyan lo yuchal lachzar. Bein shekibel alav al atzma la'abid zichusa v'lim chol masha yitoyed al pien. Bein shekibel alav sheitin kol masha yitan alav chavero, b'eidus zeh hapsul obidino. In kanu miyado alzeh, eno yachal lachzar bo. Everybody see that? This is the Shulchan Aruch from Chaf Beis Aleph. If you did a kinyan, you're bound by the guy's ruling. If you didn't do a kinyan, you're not bound. Yes? Okay. Now, what's the question here, guys? What should be the issue? Noah, what should be the issue?
Isn't it kinyan dvarim?
Oh, why isn't this a kinyan dvarim? Right? So you say, I accept Plony and Plony and Plony to decide any issue related to my related to this controversy. Or in like the Beis Din prenup case, like we're designating the Beis Din of America to be the panel to decide this dispute. And whatever they say, I'm mischayev myself for what they say, right? What do you do about Kinyan Dvarim? So the Shachir cites the Nemuke Yosef in Sanhedrin, who says the Afal Gav de Mechzi Kinyan Dvarim Afilu Hachi. Ashkechon bekinyan shemachazek hadvarim. What does that mean? Even though it appears to be a kinyan dvarim, nevertheless, we find that a kinyan can be machazek dvarim. And he brings two examples, two strange examples. One is the case of Dina Dvar Metzra, where even though you as a neighbor have the right of first refusal to buy the property, if you do a kinyan waiving your rights, you could waive your right to buy it. Shmuel, you should remember this, right? Shmuel, you remember Dina Bar Metzra, right? If you do a kinyan that you're not gonna pursue your rights on a Dina Bar Metzra, you could alienate that right. So that's one example he brings. So we see that over there. I guess that's a kind of kinyan dvarim that could be binding. There's a sugya in Bar Mitzvah about when is a malva allowed to eat from the collateral field that's taken as security. You could make a kinyan against the minav to be bound by it. So what do you take to be the substantive position of the Mukhe Yosef here? What's the argument? So he's saying it is a kinyan dvarim, but sometimes you're bound by a kinyan dvarim. Here's the actual Nemukei Yosef. Same thing. The Alpha Gav de Mechzi Kinyan Dvarim. Filu Hachi Ashkechon Bekinyan Shemachazek Advarim. What do you make of this? Thoughts? Cool.
It's weird. Like, you know, an extra oomph of Das, I guess. Something like that.
Oh, is he conceding the point that Kabbalah's, you know, Tulim and the Kabbalah's Beis Din is a Kinyan Dvarim? There are some exceptional cases where a Kinyan works even though it's a Kinyan Dvarim? Is that the idea? That's like an interesting area. That's an interesting theory.
It's certainly a peculiar formulation.
Kier, what do you think of this formulation?
I don't know what to make of it.
It's pretty weird, right?
Yeah.
Say more, Yaki. It sounds like you have more further thoughts.
No, about. Like, I mean, this is, I hadn't gotten up to this point before, so this is just like off the cuff, but my best guess is that like the Kinyan here isn't doing any substantive work. It's just kind of expressing, this is a case where binding is possible without a kinyan, and the kinyan isn't doing a substantive work to make the binding possible, the commitment possible. That's right.
The problem is in the Shulchan Aruch, so much weight is put on the kinyan, meaning if you're kinyan yado, any achalaksar.
Right.
So it's like a little strange then to say that like the Kinyan itself is not the
right. I mean, Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, the you know, it's possible that, like, you know, it's just like without the Kenyan, we just don't take him seriously. Even, you know, I don't know. I don't think this is a particularly compelling. I don't think this is a particularly compelling construal what the Rigoso is saying, but I also don't know what he's saying.
Right. And then let's just look at the second view. The Shachlin brings a second daya from the Ravan in Shavuos, who says the im kanu miyado shelo lachzar havakinyan dvarim. If when you're mekabel the bezdin or the psulim, the language of the kinyan is, I'm not going to back out. That's a kinyan dvarim because it's about performance, right? It's about like not do. It's about an action. V'lo mahani rakish kanu miyado lasos kasher yadin o yayid. So like if it's formulated as backing out, that's a problem. But if it's formulated as, I guess, being subject to the psak, then that is okay. If you look at the nesivus here, let me just pull this up for 1 second. With this will conclude. Let me just add the nesivus for 1 second. I think the nesivus is a better formulation, which avoids an obvious problem in the shach. I'll add it to the source sheet later. What the Nesiva says is if you're kona to be mischayev to pay based off what the Besdin says, which I think is a better formulation, right? Because then in the way the Shach has it, they both sound like Dvarim, right? Shalo Lachzor versus Lasos, right? Right, Cole, you see that?
Yes.
But the way the Nesivus has it, let me just pull it off the shelf here for a second. The way the Nesivus has it is that it's if you're mischayev to do what they say. So then there's at least mammon involved. That's like a better way of getting around the Kenyan Dvarim problem. Thoughts on that, Nesivus? Either as or the Shach quoting the Ravan or the way I'm quoting the Nesivus quoting the Ravan? Thoughts on that for you? I mean, Yakira, in the way the Shach has it, it's hard to see the difference, right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Cole, you have thoughts on it?
Fatigued.
Okay. Great.
Is there a way of like reading the Shach as like actually meaning what he says? And sort of like the the only thing that really matters here is the Dvarim itself, even though that's not how the Shulchan Aruch makes it sound. Like, sort of the really substantive thing is what the person says, not the kinyan that happens. And the kinyan is there just to sort of like you know, make the word serious.
So you're saying there is an important difference between the phrase shelo lachzor versus lasos?
Well, like the phrase bekinyan shemechazik hadvarim.
Oh, in the first daya.
Yeah.
So say it again.
Like Ashkechan Bikinyan Shemchazik Hadvarim. And like the only thing that really matters here is what the person says and not the Kinyan that happens.
Like the way Yakir was reading it. Like it's like almost like there's something sui generis about the Kabbalah's Besdin that's binding in and of itself. The Kinyan is just to booster it a little bit, right?
Yeah, even though it's like doesn't fit with the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, well, I would say like what does work is that look. V'im lo kanam yado yachal lachzor bo ad sheyigmar hadin. So even the Shulchan Aruch acknowledges that like you could be bound without a kinyan. And then the way Yakir was saying it, well, why does a kinyan matter? Why is a kinyan? Well, it's just to, like boost the dvarim in principle should be sufficient. And then the kinyan is just to like boost that a little bit. Maybe that's really what. So then the chiddush really you don't need a kinyan at all. Just a kinyan is to give a little more chizuk to what you're saying. That's the idea, right? Yeah. We'd have to figure out the theory then for like when you don't actually need a kinyan. That would be like an interesting, like why is it that this is an exception to the kinyan rule and why is the Mashkanta case and the Dinei Dvar Metzer case like exceptions?
All right, Itamar, can we pause here for the day?
So we'll stop here. This is a really interesting discussion. I'm not going to go deeper into kinyan dvarim. Really just wanted to look into it agav our Shavua discussion. Adkan for the parak. So we'll pick up next week. Let's all start getting deep into Hashoel. Well, nice new sugya of Baal Abimo. We'll look at the Gemara about the Makoros of some of the Dine Shomrim. There'll be some new fresh discussion. All right, guys? Yasher Koach, everybody. Have a great Shabbos. Bye.